Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the NFL Week 4 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. The road to 272 bets continues. Usually I record these on Monday night. Unfortunately, could not this week. Got in back to New York on my flight late on Monday night. So I'm recording this Tuesday morning instead, but I still have my best bet locked in for all 16 NFL Week 4 games, and we got to move on from Week 3 because it was a tough one. 7-9 minus 2.63 units, so we had a losing week. My best bets went 2-3. My teaser lost, and the Cowboys lost for us in Survivor, and the Falcons lost. So it went about as bad as it could have gone, outside of the fact 7-9, even though that is a losing week, I've certainly had worse. So season to date, we are still sitting in the profit after really good start to the season in week one. We're sitting at 25 wins, 22 losses, one push for plus 2.3 units. So hey, if you could have told me that I could have been profitable for over 2 units heading into week four, I would have taken that every single time. So back-to-back losing weeks after the strong first week, but we rebound in week four. Just to recap some of my best bets last week, Vikings, Titans, and Raiders lost. From what I could tell, did not watch the games, trying to follow them on my phone as best I could. It looked like the Vikings had multiple chances to win late in the game. I think they had first and goal at one point late in the game, needed the touchdown to win, couldn't. I believe they got the ball back, still couldn't score. So that one stung because I really liked the Vikings last week. Titans could not score against the Browns. Raiders lost Sunday Night Football against the Steelers. I have no really idea what happened in that game. I think Josh McDaniels kicked a field goal when he was down 8 late in the game, which is a confusing move. Bills won and covered against the Commanders, smoked them, and then Colts covered as underdogs and ended up winning outright against the Baltimore Ravens. So 2-3 in my best bets last week. The teaser lost. Vikings plus 8 did cover, but Cowboys did not cover minus 5. Teased that down from minus 12 down to minus 5, and they lost outright to the Arizona Cardinals. It serves me right for all last week claiming that the Cowboys were frauds. I put them number 3 in my fraud rankings last week. They might be number 1 this week. I haven't written that yet, but we'll see. Went on multiple shows last week calling them frauds, and then what did I do? I bet on them to cover the spread. I bet on them in a teaser, and I took them in Survivor. It serves me right. I rightfully called they were frauds and then didn't listen to my own advice and bet them 3 different ways. So I am now out in Survivor. Our 3 entries in Survivor were eliminated week 1, week 2, and week 3. I have no more Survivor entries left. I guess it just goes to show, I guess you can't have back-to-back good Survivor seasons. Last year, we almost won a ton of money. Won a little bit, finishing I think it was in the top 10 in Joe Ostrowski's huge Survivor pool. This week we're eliminated 3 weeks in. So I will still talk Survivor on the podcast in case any of you listeners are still in a Survivor pool, or maybe you got eliminated but you're in a pool that allows you to buy back in. So I will still talk Survivor and give my general picks. But I want to bring up this pool. I don't know if you guys don't know about this, the pool that I do is Joe Ostrowski's. And it's always a big one. I think it's it's $50 entry, and there was, I think, 1,600 entries this year. There was, yes, 1,700 entries this year. Already 1,177 people are eliminated. They're already down to the last 543, only 3 weeks in. Jaguars, most popular pick last week, lost. Chiefs, second most popular pick, that won. Cowboys, which I was on, third most popular pick, that lost. Ravens lost, didn't help people either. 6% of people on the Ravens. So if you were in a survivor pool and you're still alive heading into week four, congratulations, because it was a bloodbath this past week. But yeah, I got my bets locked in for week four. I'm excited. I like the slate. I'm ready to bounce back a little bit here. I am betting on a lot of totals this week. I think I have six totals bets this week, which might be the most I've ever given out in a single week of the road to 272. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, let's jump into it. It is the NFL week four episode of the Bacon Bets podcast, and the road to 272 bets marches on. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws!
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man.
All right, before I get into my picks for week four, just a quick refresher of the six rules for the road to 272 bets before we continue here. In case you didn't listen to week one, or if this is your first time listening to the road to 272 bets, number one, I will place a bet on all 272 games or 272 NFL regular season games. I will have a bet placed on every single one of them. All 272 bets are a flat one unit bet. I'm not betting to win a unit. I am betting one flat unit, no matter what the play is or what the juice is. A bet will be on a spread, total, player prop, or moneyline underdog. There are no moneyline favorites that I'm betting on. And because I placed the bet so early in the week, I don't think I'm doing player props either, to be completely honest, because they don't release them that early in the week on Monday night. So it's going to be mostly spread, totals, and moneyline underdogs. And speaking of moneyline underdog, must place at least one moneyline underdog bet a week. I have a big one placed for this week. All bets will be placed at regulated sports books based in the state of New York, because that's where I am. So no offshore books, even though I probably could get some better lines at some offshore books on some games. I'm sticking to the regulated books in New York to keep it as fair as possible. Those books include, off the top of my head, Caesars, BetMGM, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetRivers, WinBet, I believe, but I haven't been using WinBet, to be honest. And I think that's it. Probably the most two popular regulated books that New York doesn't have is Barstool Sportsbook, which is going to be what, ESPN Bet. I don't know if it's already made the change or not. And Bet365. Really wish Bet365 was in New York because I like that book, but it is not. So I'm sticking to regulated sports books in the state of New York. And all bets will be tracked on my BetStamp account at IanMacBets. I have it set so the picks are private until the games start. That way you need to at least, you need to listen to my voice or at the very least read my article to get my picks. You can't just go to my BetStamp account. But they are all verified. And after the game has started, you'll be able to see when I placed the bet and that it is a verified bet and at what sportsbook I placed it. All right, let's dive into it. Starting off with Thursday Night Football, NFC North matchup, Lions against the Packers. I will take the Lions -1.5, -110 against the Packers here for the same reason why I bet against the Packers last week with the Saints. Very glad that I took Saints +2 instead of just taking the money line, because I almost just took Saints money line. Turns out I needed those 2 points. That was huge. Packers won by one. But for the same reason, Jordan Love, a lot of people, I think, aren't aware that he's not playing as efficiently as he could be, because the Packers are 2-1 and he has thrown 7 touchdowns already on the season and I think only 1 interception. But through the first 3 weeks, Jordan Love has a completion percentage of 53.1%. Zach Wilson is the only starting quarterback in the NFL this season with a lower completion percentage through the first 3 weeks than Jordan Love. It is very difficult to continue to win games if your quarterback's only going to complete 53% of passes. Like I said, his touchdown passes and his lack of interceptions is kind of masking this issue, but sooner rather than later, it's going to come to light, and you're going to hear more and more people talk about Jordan Love, because everyone's kind of high on Jordan Love right now, and I don't know if that's going to last. Meanwhile, Lions offense, they have been cooking all season. Their defense also, though, strong after last week, after they completely shut down my Falcons. They shot up almost every single defensive metric, most notably ranking 6th in opponent yards per play, allowing just 4.6 yards per snap. Now, I'm still not completely sold that they are a good defense. I think last week I even said they were a bad defense, but I can't say they were bad after they kept the Falcons from not even scoring a touchdown and completely stopped the run game. So I'm still kind of flip-flopping on the Lions defense, but we know the Lions offense at the very least is very good, and I don't think the Packers with Jordan Love can keep up with their offense. So I will take the Lions on Thursday Night Football, -1.5 at -110. Moving on to Sunday's slate, my Atlanta Falcons get 0 primetime games a year, but we do get one standalone game, and that is this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. The Falcons are playing the Jaguars in London, so this will be the only standalone game I'll be able to watch my Falcons all season, unless they get flexed to a later game, which my preseason prediction was that Week 18, the NFC South will come down to the Falcons against Saints in Week 18. That might get flexed to primetime if it's for the NFC South. But as of right now, this is the only standalone game I'll be able to watch my Falcons. And I mentioned earlier that I have several total bets this week. This is one of them. I'm going to take the under. Under 43.5 -110 in London. I think the Falcons are becoming an under team. A team that we should bet or at least explore betting on the under on a weekly basis. Because they run the ball. They throw short passes on offense. They aren't throwing a lot of deep shots. And then they play solid defense. So heading into week four, they rank 26th in yards per play, just getting 4.5 yards per snap, but 8th in opponent yards per play, allowing only 4.7 yards per snap. So like I said, I think I said it last week, ironically, after I spent years hating on the Titans, Arthur Smith has now come to Atlanta from Tennessee and turned them into basically the Tennessee Titans. They're just going to run the ball and try to play defense and hope for the best. Which, in my opinion, makes them a pretty good under team. I also have some concerns with the Falcons' ability to run the ball in this game. The Lions completely shut down the run game in Week 3, and now they face a Jaguars team that ranked 7th in opponent yards per carry last year, and then they matched that this year so far. They're 7th again in opponent yards per carry, keeping teams to just 3.4 yards per rush. The Jaguars can get got, it looks like, in the secondary in the passing game. We've seen that already through the first 3 weeks. But the Falcons' passing game has struggled. I don't know. It's tough because I haven't sat down and watched a Falcons game every single snap yet this season. So I don't know if it's Desmond Ridder. I don't know if it's the play calling. I did watch the first, I think it was 10 minutes of their game this past weekend. And I did see Desmond Ridder miss Kyle Pitts wide open down the middle on a deep shot. I don't know, Kyle Pitts, it's going back to last year. He gets open, but then his quarterback just overthrows him on deep throws, no matter who's throwing him the ball. But what I'm trying to say is I don't know if it's Desmond Ridder's fault or the system's fault, but they're having some struggles with the passing game. Also, another reason why I like the under in this game, both teams have been terrible at staying on the field offensively. The Falcons are 27th in third down conversion rate. Jaguars are 29th in third down conversion rate. So they're having a tough time converting those third downs to first downs, which results in punts and field goals, which results in low scoring games. So I'll take the Falcons and Jaguars under 43.5 -110. Then let's go ahead and talk about the toilet bowl and get this game out of the way. The Chicago Bears and Denver Broncos are the two biggest shit show dumpster fire franchises, and now we get to see the two of them face against each other. Now, all offseason, I spoke about how I thought the Bears were terrible. I thought they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL last year. I thought all the money coming in on Justin Fields to win MVP was ludicrous. And then what have I done the past 2 weeks? I've bet on the Chicago Bears. Once again, the same thing with me talking about how the Cowboys are frauds. I say one thing and then I do another with my money. And now here I am. I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to take Bears +3.5. Generally, and you guys have heard me say this before, that when it's a toilet bowl of a game, if one team is getting more than a field goal worth of points, I generally side that way because when it's two bad teams facing off, who knows what's going to happen? It could just be an ugly, just slugfest. So then I guess I'll take the team getting 3.5 points, especially if they're a home team. Now, I will say, I think generally, even though the Broncos just gave up 70 points to the Dolphins, I think generally most people think that the Bears are a worse team than the Broncos. The stats show that they're actually pretty close. The Broncos are 30th in net yards per play at minus 1.5. Bears are 31st at minus 1.6. So they're equally as shitty. Bengals actually dead last in net yards per play, even though they beat the Rams on Monday night. Once again, net yards per play isn't everything, but it does give a pretty good indicator of how good a team is at moving the ball down the field and how good they are preventing the other team from doing so. And the Bears and Broncos are equally shit. Also, if there's any team that the Bears can get the ball going through the air against, it's the Broncos, because they're giving up 9.1 yards per pass attempt this season. That's disgusting. Now, don't forget, yes, they played the Dolphins. And yes, they played, that's it. Dolphins have been the only good team they played. They played the Raiders and the Commanders the first 2 weeks. Not exactly top tier passing attacks, but yet they're giving up 9.1 yards per pass attempt, by far the worst in the NFL. So their secondary, which is supposed to be one of the best in the NFL, has been complete shit. I'll take the 3.5 points with the Bears at home. And I hope I don't have to watch a second of it. Rams and Colts, Rams short underdogs here. Oh, by the way, even though I'm recording this Monday, Tuesday afternoon, I did place these bets Monday night, just to kind of keep that consistent. So I'm going to bring up and I'll talk about when lines have already moved, because I think this is one of them. This one actually moved against me. So you're actually going to get a better line on this one than what I got. It's Rams. I just took them on the money line against the Colts. I got it at plus 102. Looking right now, at least in New York, best odds you can get is plus 108. Or you can take the 2 points. Points bet is give Rams +2. I think the Colts are going to be live to win any game where they face a team that relies on the run game, because they have a very good defense when it comes to stopping the run. That is why I backed them in week 3 against the Ravens. The run defense is allowing just 3.5 yards per carry, but where they struggle is in their secondary, giving up 6.8 yards per pass attempt. That's 23rd in the NFL. That's going to be an issue when they face a Rams team that relies almost solely on throwing the football. Let me see if I can bring up some metrics for that. Pass play percentage. The Rams have the 6th highest pass play percentage in the NFL. They throw the ball on 63.94% of their plays, and I think it's even higher when it comes to where their yards come from. Yeah, 4th in the NFL in passing yards percentage. So 77.17% of their yards come through the air. So when you're playing a Colts team, and we're talking about styles make fights, I think the advantage has to go to the Rams in that spot. They can throw the ball. They're not a good running team, but that's fine, because they're not going to be able to run the ball anyways against the Colts. So I expect them to go to the air early and often, and I think that's how you can really attack this Colts team. So I think it's also a little bit of a sell high spot on the Colts team now that we're getting into week 4, week 5, week 6. We've got to start treating these games a little bit like the stock market, selling high on some teams, buying low on other teams. I think bit of a sell high spot on the Colts, who are off to a surprising 2-1 start to the season. So I'll take the Rams, a short road underdog, plus 102. You can get better odds on that now. As of Tuesday afternoon, Eagles and Commanders. This is one I bet right after the game finished last night for the Eagles. I got the Eagles at -7.5 at -110 against the Commanders. It is up to 8.5. I still like it at 8.5. If it creeps into the 9 range, then I would probably rather bet on the under. The under right now sitting at 45.5. But for the purposes of my betting record, I did get them at -7.5. I bet the line as soon as it released was released after the Eagles win over the Buccaneers. Still not a believer in the Commanders this season. I claim them being one of the more fraudulent teams heading into week 3, and then they got their asses kicked 37-3 to the Bills, and now things aren't going to get any easier against the NFC champions, the Eagles. The big concern for the Commanders in this game is that they have not been able to stop the run well this season. I think James Cook had a pretty good week for them, or for against them this past week for the Bills. They have allowed 4.8 yards per rush, and now they face one of the best running offenses in the NFL in the Eagles. So far this season, the Eagles averaging 4.9 yards per carry. So the Eagles really going to be able to pound the rock, I think, on the ground against this Commanders team. And I still actually don't think we've seen the best from the Eagles, which is weird to say because they're 3-0. But I don't think we've seen the best version of the Eagles. I think we saw flashes of it this past Monday night against the Buccaneers. But I still think the best is yet to come for the Eagles, and I think they might show a little bit of that this week against the Commanders. So I'm going to take Eagles -7.5, -110. Ravens, Browns, little AFC North matchup. Speaking of which, I did interview Mark Andrews just this morning. So you can check that interview over at Stacking the Box. The Stacking the Box YouTube channel, I believe, is where that will be up. But I will take the under 41.5 here between the Ravens and the Browns. This one's a pretty straightforward handicap, in my opinion. Two of the best defenses in the NFL through the first 3 weeks. The Browns have been, by basically every single metric, the best defense. Heading into week four, they're allowing just 3.2 yards per play. That is the fewest opponent yards per play by 0.9 yards, almost a full yard per play better than the next best defense. But the next best defense is the Ravens, who are allowing just 4.1 yards per play. Now, obviously, that doesn't take into consideration strength of schedule and some other factors, but still, you have to point out these might be the Browns, I think, are the better defense. I think the Browns by the end of the year are going to be a top three defense regardless. I think the Ravens may regress a little bit as the season goes on, but I still projected them preseason to be a top 10 defense, and they still look like, as of right now, they're a top five defense. I still think by the end of the year they're a top 10 defense. So we got two defenses who are very good, so I think it's just the obvious thing to do here is to take the under, especially because we know the Ravens are a running team. They run the ball on 53% of plays. The Browns have thrived in stopping the run, keeping teams to just 2.8 yards per rush. And then while I do like the defensive matchup for the Browns, in terms of their offense, I do not want to bet on Deshaun Watson to score points once again. I know he had a good week against the Titans this past week. At least that's what the box score told me. But now that he's taking on a Ravens secondary that's only allowing 4.7 yards per pass. So with all that being said, AFC North matchup, I'll go under 41.5, -110 between the Ravens and the Browns. NFC South, we go from the AFC North to the NFC South. By the way, yes, Falcons lost, but so did everyone else in the division. So Falcons still technically in first place. But one of the other two teams who are in contention has to win this week because they play against each other. It's the Buccaneers and the Saints. I will once again bet on the Saints -3, -105. I think now I've bet on the Saints all 4 weeks this season, but I still value them higher than odds makers and other bettors clearly do, because still every single week I see the line, and every single week I think the value's on the Saints. I know they didn't cover each of the first 2 weeks. They did cover this past week. But I think the Buccaneers will have some level of success when they play against teams who allow Baker Mayfield time in the pocket to find open receivers. We saw that in week one against the Vikings. We certainly saw that in week two against the Bears. We will not see that. We did not see that in week three against the Eagles, and we saw what happened, and I don't think we'll see it in week four against the Saints. The Saints rank fifth in opponent yards per pass attempt. They have one of the better secondaries in the NFL, and their pass rush is averaging 2.7 sacks per game, so they're starting to warm up a bit as well. And the Eagles showed on Monday how much the Buccaneers struggle when they face a good defense, because they face two bad defenses to start the season. Now, I know Derek Carr's status is up for is in the air. We don't know if he's going to play in week four, but even if he doesn't play, who's Jameis? It's going to be like a mixture of Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. That's fine. That's not a massive downgrade, in my opinion. I think the Saints may be actually being a little bit undervalued. And actually, if you take the Saints now and Derek Carr gets announced that he plays, he may even get a point and a half, maybe even 2 points of CLV if you take the Saints now at -3. Even if it's Winston and Taysom Hill, still like the Saints at -3. So I'm all over the Saints. I got the -3, -105 against the Buccaneers. The line is still at -3, but the odds has moved up to -114, at least where I bet it, which is at FanDuel. Bengals, Titans, another under bet. I know the Bengals won on Monday night against the Rams, but their offense still looked bad. Now, sure, you can blame it on Joe Burrow's calf injury, which maybe you could have blamed it on the first couple weeks as well. But at the end of the day, I have no interest in backing a team that only got 4.2 yards per play against the Rams defense. I know they won the game. That's good. If you're a Bengals fan, that's all you should care about. But when I'm trying to evaluate teams, I still have not seen enough from this Bengals offense to want to bet on them. I took the over on Monday night against the Rams. Turns out it was a bad bet because even though the Rams defense, in my opinion, might be one of the worst in the NFL, the Bengals still could hardly move the ball and struggle to score touchdowns. Meanwhile, Titans, I mean, what else needs to be said about them? They score 3 points against the Browns. They're a bad offense. So I have no faith in either team to score that many points. I will take the under 43.5 between the Titans and the Bengals, which I think, let's see if there's been any line movement on that. Yeah, it's moved down to 42.5. So it's moved down a point since I bet it. Still like it at under 42.5. I would like it all the way to 41.5. Dolphins against Bills. Dolphins on the road at the Bills. Game of the week, in my opinion. I'll take the Dolphins. I got them +2.5 at even money, so +100 against the Bills. I think it might be time for us to seriously consider whether or not the Miami Dolphins are the best team in the NFL. They just scored the most points in a single game since the 50s, I think it is. I think they were 7 yards short of the NFL record for most yards gained in a game, and now we've seen it 3 straight weeks. We've seen it against the Broncos. We've seen it against the Chargers. And who's the other team that they beat up on? Why am I blanking on this? Chargers week one. Patriots week two. They scored 24 points, 70 points last week. I think they have the second most points scored through the first 3 weeks of any team in NFL history. I think a Cowboys team from the 90s had like 3 more points or something. If they come out and beat the Bills, I think we need to have that conversation if they're the best team in the NFL. Not quite yet, because their defense still leaves a little bit to be desired, but really, with how good their offense is, their defense only needs to be average at best, and it's going to be enough to allow their offense to kind of run away with things. I set this game as a pick'em. In Buffalo, I set this game as a pick'em. It is a 2.5-point spread in favor of the Bills. I do not agree with that line whatsoever. This might just be my best bet of the week. I know the Bills have kind of rebounded a little bit in terms of final score, but let's look at who they played. They played the Raiders and the Commanders. I'm not going to take too much from those two wins, especially considering if you look at net yards per play, the Bills still +0.3. Not good. That's just ninth in the NFL in net yards per play. You would expect a higher ranking in net yards per play after destroying two teams in back-to-back weeks, but not the case. Meanwhile, Dolphins have a net yards per play of +3.1. The next closest team to the Dolphins in net yards per play is +1.8. So that's a 1.3 advantage in net yards per play for the Dolphins over the next best team. That's significant. I think the Dolphins, I guess if I'm making a pick 'em on the road in Buffalo, then I guess I evaluate the Dolphins as the slightly better team. I think that's fair. I will take the 2.5 points. It's still obviously, I'm not going to take money line because it's still obviously very possible it could come down to the wire. It's going to be a great game, but I will back the Dolphins. And if they win, I might come on this podcast next week and tell you that they're the best team in the NFL. But let's hold off a little bit on that. Vikings-Panthers. I will continue to bet on the Vikings. They continue to lose. I guess they did cover in week two, but they continue to lose for me. In two of the first 3 weeks, I still actually think they're a good team. It's very funny that it's the complete opposite of last season, where the Vikings continually won games that I didn't think they deserved to win, and this year they continually lose games that I don't think they deserve to lose. They are having some bad luck this year after having great luck last year. Despite being 0-3, they're 7th in the NFL in net yards per play at +0.7. That's better than teams like the Bills and the Cowboys. And Carolina has been a bad team to watch. Actually, their offense was a little bit better with Andy Dalton. I don't know if Bryce Young is going to be back or not for week four. I don't care. I think the Vikings deserve to be like a 6-point favorite in this one. If the Dolphins aren't my best bet, it's this one. I think it's time for Minnesota to get their first win of the season. I just don't see how the Panthers offense can keep pace with his Vikings offense. I don't see it. Last week against the Chargers, obviously the Chargers have a much better offense, even though I was on the Vikings. Like, I could see a world where the Chargers offense keeps pace. This game, I don't see a world where the Panthers offense keeps pace. I will take the Vikings -3.5, -105. All right, that's it for right now. Let's take a quick break. We got one more early afternoon game, Steelers-Texans, and it's the late afternoon slate, and then Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. So I'll take a quick break. I'll be back in just one moment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's keep things moving. The final early afternoon game for NFL Week 4, Steelers-Texans. Another total bet. I told you I had a lot of them this week. Over 41, minus 110. This is another one where the odds have moved since Monday night. The total has gone up to 42, 42.5, depending on where you look. Still like it at that number. Once, if it gets up to about 43.5, I wouldn't like it as much. And if that's the case, then I would probably take the Steelers maybe as road favorites. Right now they are 3-point favorites in Houston, but I'm going to take the over. I got the number 41. The Steelers defense being one of the best in the NFL is something that's continually repeated, especially by talking heads and pregame shows and on ESPN. It's been something that's been said the past couple of seasons as well, and it hasn't been true. People just think Steelers, they think good defense, and they just say that they have a good defense without backing it up with any kind of evidence. Because if you actually look into the metrics, they actually aren't a good defense. Now, of course, they have TJ Watt, who is arguably the best defensive player of the NFL, arguably one of the best players, period, in the NFL. But their defense as a whole, around average to below average. 21st in opponent yards per play this season, giving up 5.4 yards per play. 19th in red zone defense, team scoring a touchdown 62.5% of the time, their trips to the red zone. 28th in opponent yards per carry. They've continuously been one of the worst teams in stopping the run in the NFL, probably the past 3 or 4 years. Bad again, 28th in opponent yards per carry, allowing 5.2 yards per rush. 21st in opponent punts per play. In most stats that you look at, they are around middle of the pack. They do rank high in sack percentage because of TJ Watt, but you can't say just because they get after the quarterback at times that they're a good defense. They are actually not a good defense, and we shouldn't be treating them as such. That is why I'm surprised that the total in this game is just in the low 40s at 42, because we know the Texans' defense isn't great. Now, the Steelers' offense hasn't been great. The Texans' offense, though, does have some bite to them. You got to give them credit. CJ Stroud has been the best rookie quarterback through the first 3 weeks. They've got some good play out of their wide receivers. I actually think this might be a relatively high scoring game. I think the Steelers offense can finally bounce back with a good game against this Texans defense. I think the Texans offense can do more than people expect against the Steelers defense. Low total. I got it over 41, still at 42, 40.5, still like it. If it creeps into the 43.5 range, I would probably take the Steelers, I think, as road favorites. But that's a little bit of a toss-up. But I like the over right now, even at the current number. Moving on to the late afternoon games, I'm going to take the Chargers -5. I got them at -5, -112. I don't think there are any 5 still available. I think 5.5 is the best mark you're able to get of that. Some places it's all the way up at 6. Still like the Chargers at anything less than 7 points, or anything less than a touchdown and an extra point. I like the Chargers in this one. I don't have a lot to say about this game. It seems like year in and year out, I don't really have a lot to say about the Chargers. They still just don't really have a significant identity to me. Their defense has been bad, obviously. But their offense has been good, averaging 6.1 yards per play. That's the third best mark in the NFL through the first 3 weeks. Jimmy Garoppolo's status is up in the air for the Raiders. I don't really think it matters if he plays or not. I just don't think the Raiders offense has the firepower to keep up with the Chargers offense, even though the Chargers defense has been bad so far this year. I think it's going to be a little bit of a bounce back spot for the Chargers defense here, and I don't think the Raiders can keep up. So I'm going to take the Chargers, home favorites, -5, -112. Massive spread. This one's interesting. The Cardinals and the 49ers. 49ers are 14-point favorites on the road, despite the Cardinals upsetting the Cowboys outright last week. It's time for us to kind of make a decision on the Cardinals. Are the Cardinals the team that we all expected them to be? A team that had a win projection of 3.5? A team that seemed like they were tanking from the get-go? Or are the Cardinals actually not a good team, but better than we expected? It's a tough spot because, number one, I want to not overreact with just a 3-game sample size, and I want to say they are as bad as we initially expected, but also I need to look at their metrics too, and 3-game sample size isn't nothing either. So that kind of makes week 4 and week 5 a little bit tricky because there's enough of a sample size to use, but also it's still only a small sample size. So it is a tough spot. I will take the 2 touchdowns worth of points with the Cardinals. I took them +14 at -108. Net yards per play. I know you get sick of me bringing up net yards per play, but it's the best stat, just the best overarching stat I can use. The Cardinals are in the top 10 in the NFL in net yards per play. 8th in the entire NFL in net yards per play at +0.5. Now, are they going to regress? Yes, they are not going to be a top 10 team in that stat by the time the season ends. But we're talking about 2 touchdowns and 2 extra points worth of points. I can't take a team to cover that. I've regretted taking the Cowboys to cover as 12-point favorites last week. I don't want to make the same mistake again. I think I've seen enough from the Cardinals to make me think they're actually better than a lot of people think they are. Yeah, they're only 1-2, but they hung with the Commanders, probably should have beat them. And then week 2, who was it they played in week 2? Why am I blanking on that? And week 2 was another game, and of course when you Google Cardinals every time, it's the St. Louis Cardinals that come up as if anyone cares about them. The Cardinals in week 2, oh yeah, right, choked away their win against the Giants. So actually, if you look at point differential, they actually have a positive point differential. So even though they're 1-2, they rank in the top 10 in net yards per play. They're 12th in average point differential at +1.7. I don't think they deserve to be this big of an underdog. A 14-point underdog is wild in the NFL. That's 2 touchdowns. I know the 49ers are very good, arguably one of the best teams in the NFL, or they are one of the best teams in the NFL, arguably the best team in the NFL. I can't lay 14 points. I will take the Cardinals +14, -108. Next up, underdog money line alert, underdog money line alert. I've been a little cautious with a lot of my underdogs the past 2 weeks. Week 1, I took the Rams at 2-1 at cash. It's time for me to get a little aggressive with my underdog pick. I'm taking the New England Patriots to upset the Dallas Cowboys. I got them at +253. I think it was at Bet Rivers that I got that. Let me see if I can check that. Yeah, Bet Rivers, but it's down to +240, so you're not going to be able to get as good of a number as I got them at, but I think the Patriots are going to upset the Cowboys. I rightfully called the Cowboys frauds last week, and then they went on to lose to the Cardinals. For some reason, I bet on them anyways, even though I called them frauds. They are frauds. The first 2 weeks, they blew out the Jets and the Giants by a final score perspective, but actually in a lot of metrics, they actually didn't outplay as those two teams as much as the final scores would have indicated. A lot of that was turnovers by the other team. A lot of that was special teams play. And then we saw what happened when they played against a team that didn't turn the ball over a ton and didn't allow big special teams plays against them, and they ended up losing. Now they take on a team who the Dallas Cowboys defense, are they better than the Patriots defense? Maybe a little bit, but not by much. Pretty similar teams here in terms of defensive output. I actually think the Patriots defense might be a little bit better. I actually wasn't high on the Patriots defense heading into the season. I like what I've seen from them so far. And I think the Cowboys continue to be overrated. So I think the Patriots beat the Cowboys outright. And the Dallas fans are going to be scrambling. It's going to be tough. I obviously love them to cover a 7-point spread. If you don't want to get aggressive on the money line, I love the Patriots as a 7-point underdog in this spot. But I'm going to get aggressive. I say they win outright in Dallas. I got a +253. Monday Night Football, another total bet. I'm going to go under 43 between the Chiefs and the Jets. The Chiefs defense might quietly have one of the best defenses in the NFL, might be the best defense they've had in the past decade. And the Jets defense continues to be one of the better defenses for the Jets. So I'm not going to rush to lay 9.5 points on the Chiefs, because I do see a world where the Jets defense plays good enough that they keep the Chiefs in check and it's not going to be a huge cover. I would rather just take the under, because even if the Chiefs do win in a blowout, the Jets, it's going to be because the Jets offense doesn't score, because the Jets offense stinks. 31st in yards per play, 32nd in third down conversion rate. They're converting just 21% of third down chances. Zach Wilson is the lowest completion percentage in the NFL. They can't throw the ball. They can't run the ball. They can't do anything. What a disaster of a season for the New York Jets. I feel for Jets fans. But with this total still in the 40, like, the Chiefs could put up like 30 points, and I still don't think it's going to go over, because I don't know if the Jets are going to score more than 10. I don't know if they're going to score a touchdown. I'll take the under on Sunday Night Football, which this was supposed to be a top-tier Sunday Night Football game. This game's going to stink. Chiefs-Jets under 43 at minus 110. Monday Night Football, I will take another total bet, my final, obviously, final total bet of the week, over 46.5 between the Seahawks and the Giants at minus 110. As I said last week, I think the Seahawks are an over team, and we should treat them as such, and I will continue to bet the over until their totals get into the high 40s, low 50s. It is still in the mid-40s this week, so I'll take the over once again. I think the over was 43.5 last week between the Panthers and the Seahawks, and there was 63 points scored, if my math is right, which is not 64 points scored. The score was 37-27. A lot of points scored in that game. I expect the same this week, especially with the Giants. They also have a bad defense. So, great offense for the Seahawks. They were last week. They have been basically all season. Bad defense for the Seahawks. They've been bad all season, even let the Panthers score 27 points. Bad defense for the Giants, which have been bad. They have been one of the worst defenses so far this season. And then the only question mark we have is the Giants offense, who I think is a lot better than what we've seen so far this week. I think now that they're going to play against a really weak defense in the Seahawks, I think we're going to see a pretty good version here of the Giants offense. So I'll take Seahawks Giants over 46.5. at minus 110 for my final pick of the week. So let's recap these picks, and then I'll go through and give you my best bets, my teaser bet, and my survivor pick for this week. So we got Lions minus 1.5, minus 110 against the Packers. Falcons, Jaguars under 43.5. Bears plus 3.5, minus 112 against the Broncos. Rams plus 102 against the Colts. Eagles minus 7.5, minus 110 against the Commanders. Ravens, Browns under 41.5, minus 110. Saints minus 3, minus 105 against the Buccaneers. Bengals, Titans under 43.5, minus 110. Dolphins plus 2.5, even money against the Bills. Vikings minus 3.5, minus 105 against the Panthers. Steelers, Texans over 41, minus 110. Chargers minus 5, minus 112 against the Raiders. Cardinals plus 14, minus 108 against the 49ers. Patriots on the money line, plus 253 against the Cowboys. Jets, Chiefs under 43, minus 110. And then Seahawks, Giants over 46.5. My five best bets for this week are Ravens, Browns under 41.5, Saints minus 3, Dolphins plus 2.5, Vikings minus 3.5, Patriots plus 7. So that's Ravens, Browns under, Saints minus 3, Dolphins plus 2.5, Vikings minus 3.5, and then for my best bet sake, Patriots plus 7 instead of the money line, because, like, if you're doing a pick 'em contest, there's no money line. So Patriots plus 7 would be my fifth best bet. Those are the picks I'm going to use for my pick 'em contest. If it's spread only, then I would substitute out the Ravens, Browns under, and instead toss in the Cardinals plus 14. Teaser of the week. 1-2 on the teaser so far this season, so let's get a winner here. I'm going to take the Eagles. These are always 7-point teasers. I'm going to take the Eagles from minus 8.5, which is the current number for the Eagles, down to minus 1.5, and then I'll take the Chiefs down from minus 9.5 against the Jets, down to minus 2.5. So we are crossing in both situations key numbers of both 7 and 3. Eagles minus 1.5, Chiefs minus 2.5. Let's get a win with that one. And there you have it. This has been the NFL Week 4 episode of the Bacon Bets Podcast, the Week 4 edition of the Row to 272 bets. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the video, or like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to the audio version of this, rate and review the podcast. That helps us out a ton. Leave me a comment in the description of the video with your best bets for this week, and we'll see how you do. Gambler bless. Good luck to all your bets this week, and I'll talk to you next week for the NFL Week 5 edition of the Road to 272 Bets.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.